Looks like it's recording nicely on my end. Yeah, yes. It's not our problem if it's not, it's Tim's. Yeah, that's his problem. And he's got something to use for the intro now too.
Good.
All right. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, the gamers were crying because there was a monster about. This beast of the season is annoying and lame because he gets his kicks out of changing our games. He takes our wishes and flushes them away, leaving us with nothing but garbage to play. So boys and girls, have care and watch out, because that nasty old bastard, Sadistic Santa's about. It is time, boys and girls, time once again to welcome the crankiest, nastiest old prick to ever play games back into our lives. That's right, it is Sadistic Santa time. This is the Pixelcast, episode 24, and we're welcoming Sadistic Santa to the Pixelcast. My name is Matt Houston, and I will be Santa's lead elf during this evening's frightening festivities. Joining me in this cauldron of Christmas disappointment are three victims willing to destroy any vestiges of Christmas cheer in their body. First is perhaps the most uniquely qualified person to take on Sadistic Santa's bounty we have ever had, Jess Sammet. Hi, Jess.
Hi. Hello. Yes, I am well versed in playing less than amazing games, so, you know, feeling in my element.
In your element. That's good. Excellent. Well, yep. You get a public forum to bitch about them now, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's true. It's a joy.
It's a joy. Excellent. Well, next we have a man who was so desperate to get his hands on MechWarrior 5 that he turned to this nasty Saint Nick. Ken Lee.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there.
Are you ready for this, Ken?
Wow. That whatever you got me, that was a hot pile of garbage. So
I didn't get it for you. Santa got it for you.
No, yeah. Yep, Santa. Santa's Santa. Real a-hole.
Excellent. We'll get to that soon. And finally, we have a man who's so naive, he thinks he's getting a PS5 from Santa. Paul James.
Could still happen. Could still happen. Phil Spencer's taking you Scarlet home. I'm taking a PS5 home this Christmas.
One of those really ugly PS5 dev kits.
Yeah, I'll take it. Give me the boomerang.
God, they're chunky.
Give me the boomerang controller while we're at it.
Oh, unreal.
I've been listening into the Sadistic Santa episodes for a few years now, and I've actively avoided going on them. Even this year, I said, hey, I'll just be a backup if you need it, not expecting to be required. And holy shit, I played the worst game I've ever played. No, actually, I've played Bubsy 3D. But this is right up there.
All right. Before we get to Santa's surprises, we thought we'd talk about some different types of surprises. This time, the good kind. So 2019 threw up some really great special games that came out of nowhere. So we thought we'd just spend a little bit of time chatting about them before we destroy our souls. Paul, you've played more games than all of us combined this year.
Have I?
What surprised you?
I mean, that little factoid alone surprises me, but it surprises me that Goose Game is actually as good as it is. Like, that there was more on the bone than simply honking at random farmers and whatever. Like, it's a lot of fun. And I didn't end up doing any form of coverage at all for Player 2 on that one. It was just one that I kind of sat... Sorry, Matt, I was lazy.
It's all right, I'll let you off the hook.
Well, I was a bit crook. I think I had a hangover at the time, and I just binged it in like 3 hours, and... I mean, it couldn't have been...
I can't imagine honking's great for your headache after your hangover.
I mean, it was the night after, so by that point, I was just probably using it as an excuse to kick in bed for a bit longer. But, I was ecstatic playing that game, and look, there's a lot more to it. There's quite a bit of depth that came as a real surprise for me. Good work, nice. House.
I haven't played much of it yet, but what I have played, I've enjoyed. It's interesting. It seems like a perfect game to just pick up and honk at people for a while and then put it down again. So
and then grab their shit and throw it in the lake and.
Yeah.
It's
that cranky farmer guy that you first meet. He's fun to torment.
Yeah.
He's fun. I like Goose Game because I'm a person that doesn't really like, you know, shenanigans, right? I'm not like a shenanigans person.
Usually I'm the same, yeah.
Goose Game was like, okay, yeah. Goose Game was like, so the rules are shenanigans. So by doing this, you're actually fulfilling goals and doing what the game wants you to do. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I love the rules. So I guess I have to steal these keys and then just chuck them in the garden and he'll never find them.
Make him smack his own thumb with a hammer and all those sorts of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. God. Just good, clean fun.
Put his lunch in the river. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're not getting
that back.
And
that's just the first guy.
Yeah. That the boy is the worst. The little boy that you bail up in in a telephone booth.
Oh, poor kid.
Because I've seen geese do that in real life, so they're horrible creatures. Like they are horrible, horrible birds. They are terrible. So it's
it's the gift that keeps giving again.
It is. And it's Aussie, so that's even better. I did laugh at the news headlines that came out, you know, Melbourne developers make millions overnight. And I was like, yeah, overnight. It only took them one day to make the game. Good headline, guys. But anyway.
Well, they're going to double down on it because if you believe all the reports and the fact that the trophies are on PlayStation Network, they're about to make a lot more money in the next week or so.
Yes. I can imagine.
Congratulations, House.
It's a pretty good day's work.
Yeah. Yeah, just a day's work. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. What? How many packs was it at? Three.
Yeah.
I think three packs. Yeah.
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 At least two.
At least two. Yeah. All right, Ken. Surprise me.
Oh, do we have to stick to one?
You can go as many as you like. Mate.
I just wanted to just rattle off a couple of names before I actually talk about the thing that I want to talk about. So,
okay.
This year has been a very strange year for me because I've been really cutting back on my expenditure on games. So, I've got to be super, super careful about my purchases. So, Rebel Galaxy Outlaw.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent purchase. Mm-hmm. Love that game. But the two real surprises for me has been Dauntless, Monster Hunter, free to play, interesting game. I had a good time with it. But I think my ultimate surprise for 2019 is Apex Legends.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was a big surprise for everyone because no one knew it was bloody coming.
I mean, that just came out of nowhere, that game. It was just like, hey, here. This is a game that made $1 million overnight, I think. It just came out of nowhere. People just started playing it and was really well made when it was actually released out into the public. It being free to play made it even better in my books because I don't have to pay anything to play it. But I've never been big on the whole sort of like battle royale PUBG style game. I tried PUBG a while ago, didn't really care for it. I tried DayZ a little bit, didn't really care for it. I tried Fortnite, it didn't really click, but Apex Legends was something special. And it seems like February 2019 seems like such a long time ago. Like it
it is.
it, when I say Apex, it doesn't sound like it's a 2019 game, but that was literally just about 11 months ago. It came out around just a couple weeks before Anthem.
Anthem came out this year as well. What?
Anthem was a 2019 game as well. That's a different type of surprise, but it's just that part of 2019 just seems like so far away, and I think, and I loved everything about Apex. I like that, you know, you had different character classes, and I like which had slightly different hitboxes. You know, you got big characters, you got your small characters. I like the fact that everybody's got a unique unique ability. Fantastic. Yep. You know, there's a little gimmick to each character. There's a healer, there's a medic, you know, with the ability to heal. And my favorite is Bangalore with the ability to throw up smoke grenades, which I found immensely useful. But the fact also that you played in teams and you dying doesn't automatically make you, you know, quit out because you're done, you're dead. You have your teammates, and if they're not being complete
dicks.
they come around and try and revive you so that they can, you know, it's in their interest to get the team back to full strength as well. You know, so I felt that there was a lot more push and pull. There was a lot more sort of like, okay, my teammate's down. I need to, you know, sort of pull back and try and survive and maybe survive this encounter so that I can come back. Or maybe what I'll do is just I'll run far, far away, circle round, wait until the firefight dies down, sneak back, pick up their thing, and then try and revive them. There's like, you know, it just felt like Apex did so many small interesting things that made this genre appealing to me specifically. I just loved it. I loved Apex. It was great. I play it still occasionally, not as much as I did when it first came out, but
well, I played it quite a bit when it first came out, and then I've died off, obviously, just time reasons. But of all the initial, like, straight up battle royales, it's easily the one that appeals to me the most. I just love Respawn, though. Like the way they put shooters together, it's unique to anyone else. There's just a feel to a Respawn game that's different, especially a first person shooter that's different to, say, Fortnite. It felt more like a first person shooter that I was used to playing in a battle royale, whereas Fortnite doesn't feel like that.
Yeah. You know, I even tried the Black Ops 4, whatever it's called, their battle royale mode, and I didn't feel that.
Oh, Blackout.
Blackout. I didn't feel it. You know, there was just something off. But Respawn, there's just something, the way that characters move, that feel, I don't know what the word for it is, but it really clicks with me, the ability to sort of climb a little bit, to clamber, the ability to sort of slide, you know, down, you know, in down an incline, so that you can pick up speed and then, you know, jumps, the way, you know, the way your character jumps, the way your character moves, like everything about that feels like natural and almost like an extension of myself into the game. So Apex is just, I think, is my biggest surprise of 2019.
Excellent. Yeah. Good choice. Jess, you are up. Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, I never got to play Apex, and I was sad about it, but I've since learned that there is queer content in Apex, which means that now I'm allowed
now
to play
it. Now you have to play it.
Work purposes. So that's an exciting excuse. But yeah, I think the thing for me is that a lot of the games I play either because I'm particularly excited about them, if they're kind of big AAA releases, or because I have to play them for QRM. So it's kind of a hard topic for me to be like, what surprised you? Because all the big games, I only play them if I'm already excited. So like Control was amazing. I'm enjoying the Outer Worlds, but like they're kind of, you know, not surprises. So I've gone with a kind of slightly obscure game, I guess, because the way games tend to surprise me is if they're, you know,
obscure.
Good. So I picked a point-and-click adventure that I played really early on in the year, that was called Chook and...
Chook and Sausage.
Walk the Plank?
Chook and Sausage, nice.
Chook and Sausage. It's just a cute little kind of point-and-click game. I had some chuckles. I remember getting an email about it really early in the year, just, you know, regular PR email being like, I think you'll really like this. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, that's, yeah. But then I started playing it, and I was like, you know what, Lauren, who sent me this PR email? I do, in fact, really like this. But, yeah, it was cute. I mean, I'm a fan of point-and-click adventures anyway, but it did kind of come out of nowhere as a game.
And it's all one person,
too. The other
too.
Thing I enjoyed...
Sarah does it on her own. Yeah.
Really? Damn.
Yeah.
I bet you did it overnight. Overnight miracle.
Yeah, overnight.
Yep. I think the only other thing was like mobile Mario Kart, which also kind of came out of nowhere and I enjoyed.
I haven't even tried it yet. I was so burned by the other Nintendo games on the phones that I just went, no, I'm not even going to try it
I
yet.
Mean, but I liked Pocket Camp for a bit.
Yeah.
But I like Animal Crossing. Mario Kart's like, you know, it's terrible because it's kind of behind a paywall and, you know, there's only so much enjoyment you can get out of it. But sometimes if I'm just sitting around doing nothing and I'm like, you know what, I could go for a race. It's not so bad to just pick up, have a go. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I've got two that I kind of want to talk about, and one's kind of in line with what Ken said. It's about a surprise. It's almost a battle royale, but it's called The Cycle. Now, it got announced on during, I don't know, the PC game show or something like that at E3, and then it was available there and then. And you could get the early access from the Epic Games Store for free. It's a free-to-play. It's, I guess, a battle royale, but it's very, very different spin on it. It's very much PvE focused more than PvP. So there are missions in each level. You've got to, you know, mine gems or restart generators or, you know, hunt certain enemies that are, you know, AI enemies. Or, if you like, you can attack the other prospect. They're called prospectors. You can play it as solo, duo, or teams of four. And it works much better as a team game. So you work as four people and you help each other out. Now, there's only so many contract stars. So you win by getting the most contract stars by fulfilling these essentially in-game missions. And the most stars you get at the end of the match is the winner, not the most kills. So you can only get 3 stars from kills during a match. And if you kill too many people, you get a bounty put on your head and everyone can take those stars from you. So you get you get highlighted on the map. So it really encourages people to save the killing till the last 5 minutes of each match. Each match is 15 minutes long. And so you spend a lot of time running around doing these missions, and as you do missions you get money and you can buy new weapons in game, so you have a loadout before you start the game, but in the game you have to spend money to get access to that loadout, so you get money from killing enemies and doing missions and things like that. So you earn that money as you're playing, and you pick the weapon for the situation that you want to use, or the health kit, or the, you know, turret, or whatever you want to get, and then as your time runs out, an evac ship comes in and it becomes this kind of race to the evac ship. So you're fighting not only the environment, which gets progressively harder and nastier as time goes on, but you're also fighting all the other teams that are pushing for the evac ship as well. And it becomes kind of this general melee of craziness right at the end. And it's a really spectacularly fun way and satisfying to get to that ship and get out of there when it's done. I found it thoroughly enjoyable because of its focus on PvE and teamwork, as opposed to just the kind of out and out, I'm going to hunt you down stuff from other battle royales like PUBG and Fortnite, which I always bounced off pretty hard. Yep, but yeah, it's still free to play. It's a lot of fun. It's on PC and you know, I haven't spent a cent on it. I played a whole bunch of it last night. I hadn't played it for a little while, but I pulled it out last couple of weeks and played a fair bit because they've added some significant updates. I mean, there's season passes and things that you'd expect from the genre, but you don't need any of that. It's fully playable without spending a cent. So I thoroughly recommend people give it a go. The other one I want to talk about is almost going to be my game of the year.
Cool.
And that is A Plague Tale Innocence.
Oh.
So, okay. It was a game that came out early in the year.
That's Focus
around
Home, right?
Focus Home, yep. It came out...
Not that early.
Yeah, around April, I think. April or May sort of thing. And it was a fascinating story. It was a very... It's a linear tale. It's just an adventure game. There's not a whole heap of combat in it. There's a little bit in it. It's more focused on puzzle solving and using unique abilities. It's quite disturbing at times. It's set in the 14th century during the Black Plague in France. And rats become a significant tool in your arsenal. So, for example, if a guard is you know, looking after an area and he's got a torch, you can flick water bombs at his torch. It'll put the torch out and the rats will eat him. So, and it doesn't skimp on, you know, the detail either, like the rats swarm over them and the arms hanging out of the pile of rats as they eat him to death. It is
lovely.
It is a little disturbing, I've got to admit, but it's been put together in such a fascinating way. And the whole game is a companion quest. And before everyone goes, companion quest, because they're terrible, this is not terrible at all. It's got a really simple system. You click a button and you hold hands. And if you're holding hands, he does everything you do, your little brother. You play as Amelia, I think is her name, and her little brother. He comes with you. If you press the button again, you let go of the hand, he stays still. You go and do what you have to do without him. Works really well. There's no frustration at having to drag him along at all. And it's just brilliantly put together with some great puzzles, really moody, really captivating story. It's got a nice bit of, you know, kind of Da Vinci Code style mystery. It deals with the Templars and and the Templars dipping into the occult and that sort of thing. So it's really well put together, and it completely surprised me, because Focus aren't usually known for super high quality games. They're kind of known for that 7 out of 10 game that, you know, that some of them are quite good, but they've got clunk about them. This was extremely polished, extremely well put together, and I can't say enough for it. It was one of my biggest surprises of the year. Really, really enjoyed that. And it'd be in my top five of the year easily for
very nice.
I played. So, yeah.
And
so, yeah.
Word on the grapevine is there's another one on the way. That emerged in the sequel. Last week, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I think it did pretty well.
Yeah.
For because it kind of hit at the right time too, in a release window where there wasn't much about, so it kind of got a lot of spotlight that way. It's all about timing sometimes, I think, with a game like that.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, I thoroughly recommend it. I can see it coming to Game Pass or you know, PlayStation Plus at some point in the future, I'd imagine. It seems like the sort of game that will show up there eventually, but it's
definitely seems like a Game Pass game.
Yeah, Phil Spencer wants to accidentally let it slip like he did with Control, that'd be very much appreciated.
But it is worth getting. If you see it cheap, it'd be a good Christmas present for yourself. Anyone else got any more surprises before we move on to the nastiness of the evening?
I mean, I feel like I'm spilling the beans a little bit for the stuff that's up on the site, but can I throw Ukulele and the Impossible Lair in there as well? Because
absolutely,
like that first game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
good?
It's amazing.
Like, wow,
genuinely one of the best games of the year.
That's exciting.
Yeah, personal opinion. But I mean, obviously, we all kind of know the story. The first game was a Kickstarter, and they're, you know, really bragging about how they're going back to those 3D platforming roots. So, okay, it's Banjo-Kazooie again. Yeah. And, I mean, you can see what they were going for, but they didn't really execute. The Impossible Lair is a 2D side-scroller, so more in line with their old work on Donkey Kong Country, for example.
It is Donkey Kong Country.
Hard as shit. At different points.
Yeah.
The whole idea, the general premise of it, you begin the game by going to this quote-unquote impossible lair, and like it destroys you. Like you get your ass chewed up and spat out, and that's kind of by design. If you manage to complete that game, if anyone manages to complete that game without losing at the very beginning then please introduce yourself to me and I'll worship you, because it's deliberately hard. And you get chewed up, spat out, and then you enter the world and you go through these levels from here, and basically with the completion of each level you unlock a bee from the Beetalion, and they serve as a little shield for you. So then with each attempt that you decide to make on the impossible lair again later on, you've got one extra hit that you can take, because if you get hit by something, that's a member of the Beetalion that's knocked off you. There's like 40 odd bees that you can collect, and you're going to need the majority of them to actually get through it. Like, it's really rough. Like, this impossible lair is a good 20 minute slog, but not in like a really I mean, I get it could be frustrating after a while if you kind of get labored in some of the really difficult patches of it. But it's, I don't know, even without being the biggest Souls person in the world, I kind of compare those two sort of approaches where, like, it's very clear that you need to do, and if you fail, it is your fault. You didn't execute on whatever it is that you were trying to do, which is exactly what people say and appreciate about the various Souls games or Sekiro or Bloodborne or whatever. It kind of works in that same regard. Now, the levels out there in the world aren't as brutal, but they're still challenging as it is. It's just so perfectly balanced. I'd really recommend it incredibly highly.
Yeah, it really, really is that Donkey Kong Country feel, isn't it? With the two characters, and although you don't have two switchable characters. You've just got ukulele, and you've only got certain moves when you've got both characters. Yeah. And if you lose one of them, if you lose Lele, you can't glide and things like that. So,
but you've got about 10 seconds to kind different. Of claw him back in,
catch him again. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like it's like that
Baby Mario when Rayman. Yoshi's old.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that's...
But with
that's,
tiny bee sacrifices.
But that's
with
only at sacrifice. The end. That's only when you...
But the queen gives you these bees to sacrifice. Like, the queen says, yeah, it's totally...
That's not better.
It's totally all right. Sacrifice my minions. Do it.
There's, that's not there's better. More where that came from. Just, it's fine.
That's... Yeah,
like, don't worry. They're expendable.
They're just
terrible.
Part of Operation Human Shield.
They all come back. Like, if you fail, you've got them all again. So I guess they just... They
okay,
faint
so
a la Pokemon.
Regenerate. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sure, let's go with that.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm happy with that.
Okay, good.
You think the bad guy would come up with a can of Mortine or something?
I mean, the bad guy is a bee himself.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Capital B.
I suppose maybe that's why.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's deep right. and existential.
Yeah. It's getting into the meaning of life there, isn't it? All right, we've got one last chance, people. Anyone got any more games they want to talk about?
I'm just surprised I enjoy Outer Worlds as much as I do.
Yeah,
I mean, we've talked about it in the last a couple episodes ago. You, me, and
Chris.
We just spent the entire episode just talking about Outer Worlds.
I mean, there's a lot to it.
Well, I guess I for myself it was just I've actually never been a fan of Obsidian's games. It's too, especially the people keep talking about how amazing New Vegas is, and I'm not a fan of New Vegas. It's too story heavy.
Wow.
And too character involved, and that's not what I'm looking for in a Fallout experience. I've talked about this lots of times.
I understand, but I also deeply don't understand what it must be like. To feel that way.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
surface level understanding.
Yeah, well, I've talked about how, you know, with Fallout, especially with 3 and 4, I seek the solitude, and that's the experience I want. Like, in 4, I literally tried to look for ways to send the dog away. Like, I don't want the dog next to me. I don't want anything near me. I don't want to engage with anything. That's the type of experience I'm looking for in a Fallout. And so New Vegas sort of like really bumps up against that. So going into Obsidian, I know that what I was going into, I know it's going to have all kinds of quirky, crazy characters, and it hasn't disappointed. And it's got lots of really funny writing and also very darkly comical, you know, dark humor, black humor in it, and which I'm really enjoying. And also just some stuff which is just straight up bleak. It's not even humorous, it's just straight up bleak and dark and grim. And that the worlds, I like the fact that you're visiting all these like small mini worlds that because it's under the premise that you're visiting different planets, each planet can be very diverse and very different from every other. So I'm like, okay, you know, this is visibly Monarch, or this is visibly Byzantium. You know, it's everything is very, very it telegraphs where you are very clearly and where you're not. So I'm really enjoying it more than I actually thought I would. And the fact
still
that-
really want to get to it.
You haven't got there yet.
Just working through the pile. I finally finished Star Wars last night, so it's now there in the list.
I dream of playing Star Wars one day. Santa, please.
Santa.
And not the shit one.
Not the shit one.
The shit Santa.
Yeah no.
All right, then we might have a break, people. Everyone's going to go and get some Dutch courage of some kind, I'd imagine.
Air conditioning.
Same. Turn the aircon on, cheer up, and get ready to approach Sadistic Santa after some music that Tim will hopefully choose is rather Christmassy, some sort of chip tune jingle bells or something he'll find for us.
Wait,
and then we'll be back.
Bus.
Yeah, yeah. It's no pressure,
Jingle
Tim.
Jingle bells,
you can do
Batman
it.
Smells.
Ken can just sing
we'll
to
catch
us
you in
for
five.
The next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Robin lays an egg.
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 hide the jingle bells, put the stockings in the shed. Christmas cheer has just turned up dead. He wanders into our houses with nefarious plans, crushing our dreams in the palms of his hands. Hating enjoyment and destroying our fun is a man who wishes Christmas joy was just done. So hide in the corner and huddle in fear, because the cranky old bastard Sadistic Santa is here. So for those new to Player 2, Sadistic Santa is a tradition that dates back over 8 years, all the way back to the Black Panel. When that illustrious site shut its doors, Santa found a new home at Player 2 to spread his particular brand of Christmas cheer. Each of my guests tonight sent Santa a letter detailing what game they would like to get for Christmas, something they'd like to find under the tree on Christmas morning. But we're going to ask them tonight if they got what they asked for. Ken, Merry Christmas, my friend. What did you want to get in your gaming stocking this year?
Well, I was hoping to get a good game, at the very least.
what did you ask Santa for?
I asked Santa for MechWarrior 5, because...
MechWarrior 5.
Yeah, because that's coming out in... Well, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Brand oh, nice. New game.
It looks great, too.
Brand new game. Brand new mech game. Looking forward to it. Been hoping to get it for a very long time now.
So he would have gotten you some early access code and all that sort of stuff so he can get on board, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the hope. Or, you know, I wasn't aiming that much. I was not even an early access code. Just a regular old... Just something good would have been.
Stock edition. Yeah. Yeah. So what did you get? Did you get MechWarrior?
No.
No.
No. No. What?
That is unbelievable. I got something...
That's amazing.
Well, Sadistic Santa, like, just because there's a robot on one of the images in one of the screenshots of the game does not make a mech game. Like, fundamentally. Right. So I got something called Robo Wars.
That sounds like Mech Warrior. Like, Mech Warrior, Robo Wars. Like, I can understand that mistake.
Oh, it's so not good. It is... it is a turd. It is an absolute turd. Oh, and I earned a trading card. Oh my god, I can't.
Oh, you earned a trading card for it. Oh, so it's not a complete waste.
No, so I'm looking at the Steam page right now. I've earned a trading card, and I can't think of anything I value less.
it's probably a Steam card that's worth a lot because nobody has it. You know,
that's one way to look at it.
It's. The game itself is how do I describe this? It's essentially Plants vs. Zombies, essentially, but with,
okay.
with
none
so
of
bad.
The charm, none of the production quality, none of the artistic design, none of the sound design, none of the character design.
You just said you didn't want too much character.
Well, that's
so
true.
I don't know what you want.
You seem hard to please, Ken.
Yes, this is entirely my fault and not Sadistic Santa's.
Okay.
First aid.
So what do you have to do to explain the game to our listeners?
You've got multiple lanes, as you do in Plants vs. Zombies. Yep. And, you know, on the left-hand side of the screen, you've got your defenses. And the right-hand side of the screen, you've got your wave after wave of enemies that come at predetermined times. So, you know, depending on how many lanes are open, you know, you have to defend... your bases / flags / houses on the left hand side of the screen. The enemy waves walk down these lanes, and as they move and they walk slowly, they're ambling, shambling like the zombies that they are from the right side of the screen over to the left. You have to put like sort of defense turrets and, you know, various barriers in front of them, lasers, cannons, you know, infantry, that sort of thing. It makes it sound interesting. It really isn't. On paper, this seems like something that would appeal to me, like separate from all the mech stuff. So Plants vs. Zombies, love it. I actually really like Plants vs. Zombies. Played it a whole bunch originally. I've got plush versions of the pea shooter and the walnut and the flame, the other one, which I had custom made. I had custom made plushies for Plants vs. Zombies, right? So I really like that type of game. They try to introduce almost a card deck element to it. So you've got all these items that you then form a deck that become your items that you can use throughout the game. Like, should appeal to the board game enthusiast in me, but no, just because the sum is very much less than its parts.
It's a negative equation.
It's a negative equation. 1 + 1 does not equal 2 in this case. I would very much like my time back.
So, is there any redeeming features at all? Like, you've talked all these features that actually sound kind of cool.
Sounds cool. Like I said, again, like, who made this? I mean, all power to you because you've made something. Like, that's more than I can say because I haven't made something, right? You've made something.
You're making this podcast now, Ken.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Yeah. But you've...
You're a content creator.
I am curious. Now I really want to know, how much did Sadistic Santa spend on this? Robo Wars, $21.50. Holy smokes.
Look, Santa went shopping during the Steam sales. So, yeah.
It's got all of 12 reviews and it's all negative. Oh, wait, no.
I reckon that's the filter because mine had 14 reviews and they were all negative as well.
Okay. Of all time, it's just overwhelmingly negative. Everything about it is negative. Like, they have
overwhelmingly negative.
It's just bad. It's just so bad.
I was hopeful that
I only have 11 reviews.
I was hopeful that at one point, as you were scrolling through the history of the reviews, there that there would be like some spike at some point, and you know, and they just buff that shit out because it's clearly an outlier.
No,
that one review came in from a developer.
The developer's mum. My son made this. This was fantastic. So, Ken, have you got any message for Sadistic Santa about your game? Have you got anything you'd like to say about the quality that isn't negative? Do you feel Christmassy and happy and joyful?
In the eternal words of Nick Frost, jog on.
Excellent. So we're none from one, Santa. You're not doing real good at the moment.
Or one from one, depending on your perspective.
Depending on your perspective. Now we're going on to the toughest nut to crack, which is Jess, who lives and breathes shit games. It's her job to love and hate every single match three crappy game that you come across. So what good game did you ask for from Santa, Jess?
Yeah, so I asked Santa for a game that I'd heard a lot of good things about. Asked Santa for good old Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, excellent. Good choice.
That would be a pretty safe bet, you know?
This closes the loop on our conversation from before now. I'm understanding
now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So that was my dream, and I was, you know, taking steps to make that happen.
Well, asking Santa's a good first point of call, I guess.
A good first step. Yeah. I thought it was, you know, pretty solid attempt.
So I'm getting the suspicion that that's not what you received.
Look, it isn't. It isn't what I received. What I received was something a little bit different.
Okay.
It was, I guess, a third-person action-adventure game in theory.
In theory.
So I received a game from Santa called Slayer of Traitors.
All right. Cool.
Sounds
intriguing.
Yeah. Yep. So people seem to like the plot of Jedi Fallen Order. They seem to say that that's a pretty good, you know, pretty strong point. So imagine if you took that really good plot and then replaced it with no plot at all.
You'd get Battlefront 2.
Yes, but Battlefront 2, I'm going to assume, teaches you how to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Slayer of Traitors, just to set the scene, you open the game, beautifully made menu in what seems to be paint, I would guess. You have options for, you know, graphics quality high or low. I cannot tell the difference, so who can say? Basically, it gives you 11 levels to choose from, just straight up, 11 levels. I thought I'd pick the first one. It'd teach me how to play. What it did was put me in a room full of zombies. The description on the Steam store page says zombies, so I'm just going to take their word for it.
I like it how you have to just take their word for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Not sure otherwise.
No. They were lovingly rendered. It just puts you in there and they're shooting at you and it's like, oh, well, off you go. Work out how to do this.
Gun zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. Gun zombies. So the goal is pick up a gun from the floor that is not particularly well signposted.
The floor's not signposted.
An instruction. I mean, the gun's not signposted. Like, it's like 3 pixels on this screen of, like, endless cavern of zombies for no reason. It's like press E. So I'm standing there pressing E. It doesn't tell you how to equip the weapon. It doesn't tell you how to shoot the weapon. It also doesn't tell you how to walk. I just kind of worked that out from, you know, having played games before. But if I hadn't, then, like, God help me. So I died about 6 times before I worked out how to pick up the gun and equip the gun and then use it to shoot the zombies. The lovingly rendered, just kind of humanoid figures without skin. So they had, like, really nicely rendered, like, muscle textures.
So, like, Attack on Titan sort of muscle rendered.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's where they spent, like, all their effort in this game, just rendering them. And your only goal seems to be, because it's what ended the levels, is to walk through and murder all the zombies before they murder you. And you do that over and over again 11 times in 11 separate levels with no reasoning as to why.
Just cause.
Or particularly a celebration when you do it. Like, it just ends.
Back to the main game, go again.
Yeah, pretty much. Just like, oh, okay, yeah. Next level.
I just want to take a moment, and I'm looking at the Steam page right now, and I just want to read how this game is described. This is the...
Yes.
Player is wounded female, who only mission is to kill all zombies in different missions.
I mean...
If you've spotted any grammatical errors in that sentence, I read that verbatim.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is a story about this game. There is a story. Character is wounded woman called Suzanne.
Suzanne.
Men zombies have killed his family and also wounded Suzanne. Uh-huh. So now your only mission is to kill all men zombies in different levels.
Oh.
Zombie army has weapons. And they are also in weak condition. Again, I am reading that.
I would agree.
I am reading that verbatim. Word for word.
Yeah, I would agree with that description.
It sounds like a strong feminist narrative, really.
It sounds like a strong feminist narrative. And I mean, I guess technically it's not a strong feminist narrative.
They did not. They should have at least put female protagonists under the user tags for this.
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah, absolutely. It's making a political statement.
I guess need to cut it again because, like, looking at the features, about this game, it says features 11 levels, 2 weapons, pistol, rifle.
Yep.
And the second feature is zombie army.
Those are all the features of Slayer of Traitors. That's correct. Yep. Oh. Yeah, so, I mean, technically, yes, I guess she could have been wounded, because she's kind of running around with her neck at, like, a weird angle for no reason. Like, she's constantly looking at something on the ground, like, directly in front and to the right of her. Yeah, and she just spends the whole level like that. So, I guess that's her being wounded, probably. If we want to reach for really some reason.
Imagine the developers, see, like... Oh, I can't get this camera to work properly. Fuck, what am I going to do? Oh, I know. She's injured. She's got a gimp neck.
No. You don't understand. There is a level of artistry and sophistication. So,
yeah.
You're not intelligent enough.
Yeah. Because you, I mean, see the game, what the game was trying to tell you is you were the zombie all along.
I guess so.
Yeah. You're the evil. Like, so it's an anti-feminist game then.
Yeah. Well, it's... I don't know what it is. Every level was way too big for no reason. Sometimes I would, like, come across roads in the desert, but it wouldn't become apparent that it was a road until I was trying to shoot something on the other side of it, and it would become, like, an invisible wall, and I would have to kind of walk towards it to realize that it was actually supposed to be a road between me and the zombie on the other side, and I guess also a sand hill underneath it or something. I don't know.
Santa broke you.
But, yeah, look, Santa broke me in a way that I'm not used to being broken. So, like, props for that. Yeah, it was a new kind of terrible. Yeah, it was certainly an experience.
So, you're going to promptly jump off this podcast and leave a positive review on the Steam page?
Of course I am.
Yeah.
I see, what I'm going to do is go play all the other games by this developer. Apparently they have developed a series of 4 games called Lawnmower Game 1 through 4.
Oh, okay.
Where you just mow lawns. And sometimes things attack you.
Why are you mowing the lawn?
It's not even the best game in the lawn mowing genre. There's Lethal Lawns.
It's not. Yeah, so that, yeah.
Yep.
It happened.
It happened.
Technically, you gave me a game.
You might be interested to know that this particular game has a discount as part of a like a 10 game bundle. Yeah.
A bundle. Yeah.
That's going for $104.
That's where Santa bought it. He wanted to keep the rest of the games for himself.
Of course. Yeah. I just. Technically, you gave me a game with a female protagonist, and I suppose if you want to see it this way, it has a nice feminist narrative. At the same time, though, that's in no way what it was. And I'm hurting inside.
Santa is very happy that he found a game that could upset you this much, let me tell you.
You know, and as
congratulations,
it's bad, and so you know, just to turn that feminist sort of angle on its head, mm-hmm. as part of that same bundle, yep. there is also another game that's just called Run Naked Woman Run.
Good. Wow, I'll have to rush out and play that one next.
Oh, excellent. Any final words for Santa or the developer of, what was it again?
Run Naked Woman 1.
Slayer of Traitors or Run Naked Woman Run. It's hard to know which is their best work, really. Yeah. Look, man, I just wanted to play Star Wars. Now this.
You're going to go into some sort of shock when people mention on Star Wars now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, Paul, it's your turn, buddy.
Good luck, Paul. So, I hope it went well for you, Paul.
So what did you ask Santa for, Paul?
In my dreams, I believe and I'm trying to will this into existence, that I requested a game called Legend of Persia and I received Divinity Original Sin 2. But in fact, it was the opposite.
It was the opposite, yeah.
And So I reached out to Santa and I asked for Divinity Original Sin 2.
Which is a fantastic game. Absolutely fantastic.
So everyone tells me.
Paul will never know.
I was so looking forward to trying it out. And instead I got Legend of Persia.
Perfect game for the holidays too. Yeah.
And I thought, maybe this is like some long lost spin-off to Prince of Persia. I can get around this. Because, you know, Ubisoft's not doing shit with that franchise. It's neither Prince of Persia, nor is it Divinity, and nor is it legendary in any way. It's a bad attempt at Diablo slash Torchlight. Hell, I mean, I've just recently come off the back of playing Darksiders Genesis, which is not meant to be a Diablo game at its core, despite a lot of confusion from a lot of people. But Darksiders still does Diablo games better than this does. If I could watch that intro, like the intro cutscene, I watched that, well, accidentally. I kind of fired the game up and then walked off to go do anything except play the game. But I could see it from, I could see it from the kitchen where I was, and I was actually quite impressed. I thought, oh, hang on, Matt might have, I'm sorry, Santa might have stuffed this up. Like, maybe I've landed a winner here. So then I went back.
The false hope is always good.
Well, I mean, it struck me enough that I went, like, I closed the game, reopened the game again so I could watch that introductory cutscene, because I was surprisingly impressed. I'm like, okay, hang on, I might have drawn the short straw here and be okay. Turns out that the only thing I want to see is the opening cutscene, because the rest of the game beyond that is an absolute turd.
But plus, they established plot for your game, so yeah, that's something.
Still not a discernible story at all. It's just an impressive cutscene. Like, stylistically, it was kind of cool.
So
okay, yeah, right, yeah.
All right, Paul, I've got a question for you. Again, off the page, describing this game, Legends of Persia is a highly ambitious action RPG.
Wrong.
It can be highly ambitious. Did it meet or exceed its ambitions?
I didn't sense any ambition at all. Unless their ambition was to create the worst game imaginable.
I don't know. I'm thinking next year someone's going to get Run, Naked Woman, Run from Santa. So.
Well,
Santa's already got it in his, like, from that bundle.
His wish list.
Do I just have to pencil in this day next year to come back and get that Run, Naked Woman,
yes.
Run?
So Ken, did you want to continue with the descriptor there, or?
Well, no, because like you said, the concept art is actually really good. Like the animation,
and then it all falls apart.
Which is high, well, again, you know, you can be highly ambitious and just fall very, 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 very short of those ambitions.
Yeah. That's exactly what this one did.
Look, you've got all the ingredients: 200 weapons, 3 different hero characters.
They're trying to be Borderlands now. Come on,
like lots of unique, challenging enemies. Did you see lots of unique, challenging enemies?
So I encountered one particularly unique and/or challenging. Actually, it wasn't unique at all. I've encountered one challenging enemy. And the only reason that was challenging is because the ally partners that I was supposed to have got stuck behind a cart about 50 metres back up the road and couldn't fire their arrows over to help me. In this very kind of early days, well, it's the first kind of mission where you actually get to head out and, you know, fight things. I was mashing my way through, but it was quite clear that the little allies that I was supposed to bring on this escort mission at the beginning of the game were supposed to basically do the bulk of the lifting for you at this early point. And they did that with the little goons, and then we encounter this boss, and all of a sudden they both get stuck behind a little mic. Well, actually, I had one of them. I don't know where he disappeared to. The second one managed to then get stuck behind the cart, out of reach of where the boss was. So I actually had to lure the boss over towards the cart so he could then contribute from there. But he was still shooting through stuff.
Yep.
The game is ugly as sin. It doesn't play well. Bugs galore. They added cheats into this game so you could actually finish the game.
Wow.
There's missing sound effects. It's... it's hard to...
You know,
if there's any one redeeming factor, it's that it's short.
And you've got cheats to finish it.
Watching the little cutscenes on the Steam page, looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. Like, the videos look good.
They do look good.
And like, Santa thought that he'd... You know, I had drawn the short straw, and it turned out he was true to form.
No. So that's probably where all their budget went. Like, all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. On the opening intro. They got one decent animator, and then, yeah.
And some of the stuff that was bothering me is, like, I'd go and speak to random citizen in town, and in this case, it was a he the first time around. He had a little job for me, and it kind of launched into this cutscene with those same sort of... that same sort of visual style that you've been looking at in the trailers there. Mm. And he said absolutely nothing. And then all of a sudden, I just got booted out, and like I had to just press and hold the space bar to find the little directional arrow that tells me where I'm supposed to go. With no reason as to why. Maybe it was supposed to activate and it didn't. I have no clue.
I still can't get over the fact that the developers knew their game was so fucking terrible that no one would finish it, that they added cheat codes
they patched
so they
it in,
would.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
That is a quality patch right there. Forget fixing things. We'll just give you a way around it.
So yeah, if just up, you know, down, left, right, BA, start, and then boom, just boot you straight to the credits.
Yeah. There are a total of 162 reviews for this game. There are 20.
That's a lot of people have played it.
There's got 22 positive and 140 negative.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
And in one of the positive reviews, it says, if you purchase this game expecting Diablo 3 or Torchlight 2 set in the Middle Eastern world, you will be horribly disappointed.
Actually, and that's another thing. Like, yeah, you're talking about like set in the Middle Eastern world. Like, that's a region that's not often enough kind
serviced,
of visited
yeah.
in games. You know, Prince of Persia, obviously very high profile. You know, Assassin's Creed. You know, at the beginning there, and then you know beyond that, there's not that many kind of examples of any sort of prominence. And I mean, this is certainly not prominent in any way, shape, or form. But they gave it a crack, and it just turns out it's shit. And I really wish they hadn't, because I am longing for more of this sort of thing. I'm longing for more Prince of Persia, and now they just make me want to kick the doors down at Ubisoft.
It is a fascinating region with a fascinating mythology, so it seems like it would be ripe for a really good Diablo game. Like, clearly this is not it.
I'm going to kick down the doors of Ubisoft, go find Yves Guillemot, be like, mate, I've played the worst Persia game of all time. He goes, no, come on, that 2008 remake wasn't that bad. I go, no, that was brilliant. I played Legend of Persia. I'd rather shoot myself in the face.
Only true fans have played Legend of Persia.
Yeah.
Only true, yeah. Looking for Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, that's the one.
All right then, Paul, have you got anything else to say?
Fuck you, Santa.
For Santa. Fuck you, Santa. Wow. There's not even a pretense there of caring anymore.
No.
Just hate in his eyes. And you know what Santa always loves about this? And it won't affect Jess so much, but it'll affect Paul and Ken a bit more, that they're stuck in your Steam lists forever.
Can I gift it to someone?
No.
Still affects me. It still hurts every time I have to add game to that list.
You're not numb to the pain yet, Jess?
Well, I'm not.
I don't think I ever will be.
Speak.
Yeah, I'm playing Star Wars all right now. Like, legitimately.
Yeah, let's all uninstall together.
Three,
and look,
two, one.
Santa was going to give me a game this year, but he figured, considering I had to review WWE 2K19, that I'd had enough pain for the year.
You've done your
time. I've done
that
my
sounds time. Bad.
It so I can't lose this to anyone.
It was so bad.
I don't use Steam enough.
You can't gift it to anyone. It's yours forever, Paul. All right, we might leave it there. That's another year of the Player 2 Pixelcast done. It's our first year as the Player 2 Pixelcast after joining the Player 2 team and Hyper Pixelcast together. Thank you, Jess, for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Paul and Ken.
No worries.
For going through this fun. Thank you to all our guests that have popped on over the year, and thanks to Tim for continuing with the Pixelcast. Also want to say Merry Christmas to all our listeners, and if Christmas isn't your thing, I hope you have some nice time off with your family and friends, and we'll look forward to chatting with you all again in the new year. Make sure you head over to Player 2
Gift Guide.
Catch all of our gift guide and our end of year wrap up stuff. Jess, where can people find you on the World Wide Weird Web?
People can find me on Twitter mostly at ZamitJess, or you know, doing a bunch of stuff with Queerly Represent Me.
Excellent, excellent. And you've got the QRM's got the new branch, yeah. We put a post up on it.
Gaming with Pride.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds fantastic.
Just as a way to kind of tie together all the events and stuff that we run, because the number keeps growing, and it's like should unite them somehow.
So you should follow that on Twitter too.
It's yes.
Gaming W Pride on Twitter.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Cool. I remember. Yep. Paul. So where can we find you?
You can find me at Paul James Games and on the Player 2 website. And if every single person listening right now could do me a massive favor, if you've not already done so, open your podcast feed right now. You are listening to this podcast, so go on. You're halfway there already. Search up Dev Diary, subscribe, because there is a massive string of awesome episodes that have been coming out. We've got one more for the year coming out this time next week. Squeaking in before we shut up shop for Christmas. With Rich Lambert, who is one of the heads of ZeniMax Online, working on Elder Scrolls Online. He's been working on Oblivion. And then we've obviously had awesome guests recently. Victoria Dolbaum, who's been at Bungie, working on Destiny, Destiny 2. John Mamias from CD Projekt Red. Nathan Rose from Xbox. And a few dominoes already falling into place for next year. So please, there've been some awesome guests. I would love it if people could subscribe, share it around, etc., etc.
Excellent.
Plug over.
He's got his plug in. Ken, what about yourself?
You can find me at Pixel Hunt on Twitter. That's probably the best place to find me. I've got stuff on Player 2, most recently the gift guide. Feel free to buy me anything that is there on that is listed in that gift guide, particularly my sections of it. Feel free, please. Yes.
Can we get you a copy of like the Naked Woman game, whatever it was again?
Run Naked Woman.
And
you've got to accept the gift.
Store.
Well, you can find me at Huso81 or Player2AU. And like I said, once again, Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a great new year. Have some time off with your friends and family. It has been a bit of a rough year at times. So some R&R is appreciated by everyone, I'm sure. So relax. Refresh, and we'll be back in the new year with more of our unique brand of bullshit. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next time on the Player 2 Pixelcast. See ya.
There is a running Naked Simulator 2019. Like, implied as though there's going to be more of these things.
No, guys.